All right, so we are in July, almost the end of July already. So quick, can't believe that, you know. This year, we started out with our theme. All right. Can you remember our theme for this year? What is our theme? Our theme is to? Walk by faith, right? And this is the theme that God has put upon our hearts, you know, to say that, this is something that as a church this year, we want to focus on, we want to grow deeper in, right? And we will, for as long as we are in this world, always have to walk by faith. And so this year, we started with the book of Hebrews, and right, we have completed it, and right now, we are going into the gospel according to Mark, or the gospel of Mark, in short. Now, as we go through the Gospel of Mark, there are so many things that we can glean from. The Word of God is just an endless treasure trove for us to glean from. But I'd like us to just tune in according to what God has given us as a church, and that is to walk by faith. So as we listen to, as we go through the Gospel of Mark, think about, reflect about, how will this Gospel help us to walk by faith, to go further and to go deeper, all right? So that's how we are going to approach the Gospel of Mark for the rest of this year. You got it? All right? Yes? Oh, okay? Yeah, okay, huh? Okay, thank God for the rain, and thank God that you are all here, all right? Okay, so I just thought I'd start with a very quick background on the Gospel of Mark. Now, how many of you want to give a guess? Okay, a guess on who wrote this gospel according to Mark. Who wrote this gospel of Mark? Mark, okay. But what is his, maybe his first name? What's the first name of Mark? John Mark, all right. So one day maybe we have a member who also, we got John Paul, we'll have John Mark as well, all right. So, John Mark, okay, was the presumed author of this gospel. And the early fathers, the early church fathers would have, according to the tradition, according to the history, would generally agree that John Mark, who was the assistant to both the Apostle Peter and the assistant to Apostle Paul, was the author of this gospel. And it was written round about the mid to late 50s AD. All right, or some commentators would say that his this gospel was written around about the mid-60s AD. But basically, it was at a time possibly where it was at the beginning of the Jewish-Roman War, and there was intense persecution that was at least starting and beginning during the time of Nero. So John Mark, he penned this gospel, or he penned this writing with an objective, with a purpose. And that objective and that purpose is to give not only a historical narrative of the life of Jesus, but John Mark wanted to show that Jesus is truly the Son of God and He is the Messiah. Now, how many of you know that when our faith is under pressure, when we are under pressure for our faith, who we believe in is very important, right? We have to be very sure, we have to be encouraged on who is our faith based in. So he wanted to show that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Messiah, and he also wanted to show what does following Jesus look like? What does discipleship look like? Because in a time of intense persecution, it is easy for us to be distracted or to detract. It is easy for us to give up. So he wanted to encourage them to say, hey, following Jesus looks like this, so you guys are good, all right? Just keep on and keep the faith. So discipleship is going to be one of the main themes of the Gospel of Mark. Now, this morning, I will not be able to go through all of chapter 1 itself. I'll leave you to read chapter 1. In fact, what I want to encourage you to do is this. Before you reach here each Sunday, I want to encourage you, read the chapter that we are going to be talking about or preaching from or sharing from ahead of time. read it, and when you read it, ask the Lord to already give you a word, a personal word for yourself from that chapter. And then come here and let the word, let the Lord confirm His word to you. Okay? So chapter 1, I will not go through all of chapter 1, but I want us basically just, I'll just give you a quick snapshot. John talks about how the good news that is in Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. He talks about the ministry of John the Baptist. He talks about the baptism of Jesus. He talks about how Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tested. He talks about how Jesus started His ministry in Galilee. He called His disciples, and then He went on to teach and to heal and to deliver people from demonic oppression or possession. So this morning, I would like us to focus on the passage in verses 16 to 20. So Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. Come, let's take a look at that. In verse 16, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed Him. When He had gone a little further, He saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, and they were preparing their nets. Without delay, He called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed Him, followed Jesus. Our focus and our exhortation from this for this morning will come from this call to action that Jesus gave to His disciples. Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. So what were the disciples, what were these early disciples called to do? They were to follow me, follow Jesus. Jesus said, follow, right? Now, what did Jesus meant when He said, come, follow me? Let me share with you what He did not mean, what Jesus did not mean when He said, come, follow me. Firstly, Jesus did not say to them, come, follow me, in that, okay, come and observe and check out from a distance. Observe me and check me out from a distance. Keep an arm's length away. Jesus did not say that. You see, in today's world, right, how many of you have got social media? Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, right? How many of you? You're a bit shy to wave, but it's okay. I know there are a lot of things. A lot of you have a lot more apps to follow. Now, there is a term that you use, right, in social media where you say that you are following someone, right? So when you want to follow someone, what you do? You just click on follow, right? So what does it mean to follow someone? So you're establishing a connection. It's a little bit like networking, right? It's just like my daughter was telling me that that today amongst her friends, they don't really exchange phone numbers. They exchange Instagram accounts, and you follow each other on Instagram. So it's a bit like a networking, establishing connection kind of a thing. And you follow someone on Facebook or you follow someone on Instagram because you want to find out about what they are doing, right? What they are talking about, what is it that they are doing in their lives. Basically, it's to be a busybody in their lives, right? That's the idea of following. And generally, when you follow someone on Facebook or on social media, you actually do it at a distance. You are just checking out what they are doing, but you may not necessarily want to imitate them or emulate them, right? Safe to say that? But the truth is, many people do actually copy whom they are following, what they watch on Facebook and on Instagram. And they try to do the same things that they see others are doing on Instagram, and oftentimes they put themselves into danger, and sometimes it costs them even their lives, right? And how many of you would know that people do actually get influenced by whomever that they are following on social media, right? How many of you have heard of this little toy called Labubu. How many of you have heard of Labubu? Just so that I know. Wow, Uncle Hoping, you're very up to date. Well done. I actually feel very old compared to you. Okay, I only just heard of Labubu fairly recently. Labubu is a small, tiny, monster-looking figurine, okay, that they try to make it look cute, all right? Okay, a little bit like Pokemon kind of a thing, monsters, but they make it cute. And then what happened was that it was actually just one of these figurines just lurking somewhere, and one day, there was a band member of the famous Korean girl band. It's a Korean girl band called Blackpink. How many of you heard called Blackpink? I don't know what does Black, how does Blackpink actually look like, but it's called Blackpink, right? You know, and I think the band member's name is Lisa. And one day she was carrying the Labubu on her back. Someone took a photo, posted up on Instagram, and bam! Suddenly, this monster became famous and it became so expensive. I heard that you can even buy, or even LV makes Labubus as well. Monsters, is that right? Okay, I can't understand why, you know, but anyway. And so, people do get influenced by these celebrities, right? And so you have, in today's age in social media, the rise of this group of people called the influencers, right? Because everyone wants to tap into their lives, see what they're doing, and they actually end up copying. But I know that for most of us here, we are pretty sane people, right? We generally follow them at an arm's length. So following today has this idea of following and watching, checking out at a distance, at an arm's length. Not personal, right? It's at an arm's length. The thing is, how many Christians today have also taken that same idea of following and applied it to their faith, where they follow Jesus at an arm's length? They know about the teachings of Jesus, they know who he is, but they may not necessarily want to imitate or to emulate or to pattern their lives after the life of Jesus. They follow Jesus at an arm's length. I remember during my younger days, right, I would hear some of the non-Christian parents tell my friends who are non-Christians, they say, yep, you can attend church, you can go for all the youth events, but don't get overly engrossed. Don't get baptized. Go to church, go for the events, don't get overly engrossed. Follow it at arm's length. Or perhaps today you may hear some Christians say, you know what, it's good to have a religion, it's good to have good Christian values, but you know what, just balance it a bit. Have a bit of balance. Follow at arm's length. But you see, when Jesus said, come follow me, he did not mean for us to follow him at arm's length. Now, what Jesus did not mean when he said, come follow me, is that he did not say, come and just merely accept me. Mere passive acceptance. Now, in the later part of 20th century, in the late, maybe around about what, 1960s, 1950s, 1970s, 80s, to the 21st century, you will hear that it's very common for preachers or for Christians to say, come, accept Jesus into your heart. And when you accept him into your heart, your eternity is secured. Your eternity is fine. And it inevitably gives the sense that all you need is passive acceptance of Jesus. So yeah, we accept that he's the Savior who takes away our sins. We accept his gift of salvation. We accept that henceforth we'll be called Christians. And then we say, hallelujah, we say amen, and that's it. But you see, the thing is this. we can accept and we can respect people for who they are. We can even accept and respect what they say, but we may not actually want to follow or imitate them. It may not mean that just because I accept this person or I respect this person means that I want to pattern my life after them and to become like them. To follow goes beyond mere acceptance. When Jesus said, "Come, follow me," he is saying, "Come and be my disciples." So the disciples in his day, right, during the times of Jesus, an image will come up in their minds. And this is the image that they will see. They will see a disciple when Jesus said, "Come, follow me." They see this image where the disciple is following the teacher or the master very closely behind, walking very closely behind, so that the disciple's feet becomes covered with the dust that the teacher kicks up when he walks. So that the disciple's feet is covered with it. So that's the image that they have. Meaning you follow really very closely, you imitate the rabbi, you imitate the teacher. So to imitate means it's more than just simply understanding and accepting, but to imitate means that you actually walk in tandem with what the teacher teaches. You live in the same way that the teacher lives. You do the same thing that the teacher does. And you even adopt and take on the nature of your teacher, his behavior and his perspective of life. So the question is this: how do you know if a disciple is true to his master, if it's a true disciple of the master or of the teacher? Well, look at the disciple. Does the disciple look? Does he talk? Does he behave in the same way that his master behaves? Does he do the same thing and in the same way as his master? So for those of you who are movie buffs, you would remember the show Karate Kid, right? How many of you watch of that Karate Kid, right? Yeah, Mr. Miyagi, who is the teacher, and then you've got the young guy who is the disciple. Or how many of you have watched Star Wars? Not many of you. You guys don't watch TV, right? So I'm the only really quite worldly one that needs to repent. But if you happen to watch Star Wars, there's this guy called Anakin Skywalker. How many of you have heard of Anakin Skywalker? And who was Anakin Skywalker meant? Who was his teacher? His teacher was? Yes, I heard someone say Obi-Wan Kenobi, right? Okay, you do not know, never mind. Just go watch it after you read your Bible, okay? So, Anakin Skywalker followed after the footsteps of Obi-Wan Kenobi. He learned how to fight, he learned how to use a saber, but it stopped there because eventually Anakin Skywalker deflected to the dark side. He did not follow the heart, he did not catch the heart of his master. So to follow is more than just following at arm's length. It's more than just being moderate or half-hearted. To follow is more than just merely accepting. But when Jesus said, "Come, follow me," it requires active obedience. It requires obedience that is proactive on our part. We do something about it. It requires active commitment to it. It requires us to adopt and to pattern our lives after the one whom we follow. To do the things that they do, to become like them. So that the disciple resembles the master. And just this morning, how many of you watch Sister Hannah playing the drums? Does she resemble Tony? The disciple resembles the master. So I've got a question for us this morning. If we take a good look at ourselves today, listen to our words, not listen to the words of your wife or your husband, but listen to our words, our own words. Listen to watch our actions. Reflect on our behavior. Reflect on what is our perspective in life. What perspective in life do we hold? Then ask this question, who do we resemble? Because we are necessarily following someone. We are always following someone. And who we follow, we resemble. So the question is, who do we resemble? So the next question here that will come on is, who are the disciples to follow? Jesus said, come, follow me. Who is me? Obviously, it's Jesus. But do you know who Jesus is? Let me tell you who Jesus is not. Jesus is not a good pally friend. You go, yo, mate. Jesus is not just a good moral teacher. Jesus is not just one of the renowned prophets of God, like Moses and Elijah. And Jesus is certainly not our genie in the bottle, where we come to Him and say, Lord, gimme, 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 gimme. Or, Lord, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do. Can you stamp on these? He's not our rubber stamp. But Jesus is, as Mark would proclaim in Mark chapter 1, verse 1, He is the Son of God. He is the only begotten, beloved Son of God. Jesus is the creator of heaven and of earth. Everything in this world was created by Him and for Him. Jesus was there at the beginning of time, and He is also will be coming at the end of time as the King and as the Judge. Jesus is equal in glory, He's equal in power and authority to God the Father. Jesus is not just any other human being, but He is eternal God. Now, this is such an important truth that we need to grasp, that Mark would start off his proclamation and declaration right in verse 1. Where he says the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. You see, Mark has very carefully chosen his language here. Because during his day, there was an inscription that was written of the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus. And this inscription honors Caesar Augustus as a god with a small g. And this is what the inscription says. It says, the birthday of the god Augustus was the beginning for the world of the good news. But Mark here challenges this imperial cult, this imperial worship, and he declares, no, the good news for the world begins with Jesus Christ, who is the true Son of God. So Jesus is the Son of God. Now today, we have many Christians who will follow various of their favorite Bible teachers. They have a following of their favorite Bible prophets, their Bible pastors. And we know that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, that we are exhorted to consider the outcome of the lives of our leaders and to imitate their faith. We also know in Corinthians that Paul the Apostle exhorted the Corinthian Christians to imitate him as he imitates who? Christ. So it's important that while we follow people, while we follow our Bible teachers and our Bible prophets and pastors and all that stuff, of all the Bible teachers, scholars and prophets and preachers, at the end of the day, only Jesus, the Son of God, has the highest and most authoritative voice on life and on the kingdom of God. So this is a reminder for us that we have to spend time in His Word. Read the Bible. Don't let our sermon, listening to sermons, substitute our reading of the Bible. Don't let our reading of devotionals substitute our reading of the Bible. Because we have to find out through the Word of God who Jesus is. The Word of God is the revelation of God. He reveals Himself through His Word. It's important for us to read the Word of God ourselves. And Jesus is the one who also, in the flesh, demonstrated and exemplified to us what it looks like to live in this world as one who belongs to the kingdom of God. If you belong to the kingdom of God, how do you live in this world? How do you conduct your lives? How do you conduct your affairs in this world? Your behavior in this world? Always remember that our primary and ultimate model for us to follow is not a Bible teacher, a Bible scholar, a pastor, but it is Jesus Himself, the Son of God. Okay? Right? You all guys know that that Bible teachers and scholars and pastors are just mere human beings, right? That we are fallible. You follow us, you might end up in a ditch that we end up in as well. Follow Christ, but you follow your leaders as far as to the extent that they follow Christ. Christ is the ultimate model. Now, we know Jesus is the Son of God. We also know that He is the Messiah. He's the anointed and the chosen one, right? We know that from the rest of Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 45, that Jesus is the one who heals. He's the one who liberates and who delivers people from demonic oppression. So we know Jesus is our healer. We know that He is our deliverer. We see Him as the triumphant and the kingly Messiah. Ooh. And the chorus of heaven say amen. But do you also know that Jesus is the suffering Messiah? He is also known as the suffering servant of God that the prophet Isaiah prophesied of. There is a professor of New Testament and Greek, a well-known guy. His name is David De Silva. This is what he says. He says that the shape of Jesus' messiahship is also the pattern of discipleship. The way Jesus lived out His messiahship, the way He lived out His role as a Messiah, sets a pattern for us who are His disciples to follow. Jesus would show what it looks like to suffer and to serve as a servant of God. And so for the rest of the Gospel of Mark, we will see what it means to follow Jesus as the suffering Messiah. That we are to deny ourselves, we are to take up our cross, and we are to follow Jesus. To deny ourselves means we give up our lives. To take up our cross means we give and lay down our lives for the sake of Christ. If we lay down our lives, then it also means to say it's no longer about us. It is not about us then trying to get the approval and validation of the world, but it's about getting the validation and the approval of the one who matters, and that is Christ Himself. Following Jesus is not about personal greatness, achieving personal greatness. It's not about trying to achieve a preeminence or a power, trying to achieve power and control over others, or trying to be recognized. Hey, you know, what's your title in church? Oh, you're only a leader. Hi-yo, I'm a pastor, you know. Oh, you're only a pastor. Oh, I'm the senior pastor. Oh, you're only the senior. Oh, I'm the senior pastor. It's not about titles. It's not about recognition. It's not about trying to outdo one another in terms of superiority or in terms of spirituality. Hey, when you pray for people, do people actually rise up from the wheelchair? Huh. When I pray for people, they rise up from the dead. Oh, you? Okay, you never mind, it's all right. At least you can rise up from your bed in the morning. It's not about comparing and trying to outdo one another. But you know what? This is something that is prevalent still in the church today. It was prevalent in the times of Jesus' disciples. They were comparing to see who is greater. They wanted the best seat with Jesus. It was prevalent in the Corinthian church. They were trying to outdo one another in spiritual gifts. Unfortunately, it is still prevalent today in the church as well. But following Jesus is not about personal greatness. It's not about us. But it's about following Jesus, it's about serving others. It's about laying down our lives for one another. About trying to outdo one another in terms of showing honor and love. Outdo one another in showing honor and love. And the example that we have is Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus is both the triumphant Messiah, he's also the suffering Messiah. If we say that we are following Jesus, are we pursuing after all that really spectacular and awesome miracles and signs and wonders, the power ministry that Jesus did? Or are we also denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and giving up our lives for the sake of Jesus? So as true disciples, we need these two aspects. We need to grow in these two aspects. That is to walk in the power of the Spirit. We need to walk in the victory that Jesus has secured, and also to follow Jesus in the way of the cross. So what is the purpose of following Jesus? A lot of people make a lot of things about following Jesus. But Jesus here says, come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. So we will become fishers of men. We are meant to fish people out of the kingdom of darkness and to point them to the kingdom of light, to point them to Jesus. Jesus did not say, come follow me and I will help you to recoup all of your financial losses. I'll make you very prosperous. Jesus did not say, come follow me. And like how I turn the water into wine, I'll turn all your coins into gold bars. Jesus did not say, come follow me, and I'll send you all my angels to encamp around you, protect you, so that you will have a pain-free and a trouble-free life. Or maybe if you are a Christian, Jesus did not say, come follow me, and I'll make you a Christian superstar. You'll be a sought-after preacher. You'll be a sought-after healer. Or that you will be a pastor of a large church. Jesus did not say that. You see, it is not about our kingdom. It is not about our ambitions or our self-centered desires. When Jesus calls us to follow him, it is to join him in carrying out and in carrying on his mission of redemption and salvation in this world. In fact, this is such an important and core mission that just before Jesus ascended back to the Father, he would again give this commission to his disciples to go out into the world to make disciples, fish for people, baptize them, and teach them to obey all that he has taught and commanded, all that he has modeled for them. So for those of us who would consider ourselves as true disciples and followers of Jesus, let us always remember that we have to be faithful to what we have been commissioned to do, to make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. not just by words, because it's easy to teach and to preach, but by the testimony of our lives. Let our lives be the message. This is our core mission. As disciples, this is the core mission of the church. And this is what we will have to give an account of when we stand in front of Jesus on the day that he returns. So how did the disciples respond to the invitation? Very quickly, 2 points that we can hear in Mark 1. Firstly, they responded at once. In verse 18, you see that Simon and Andrew, at once they left their nets and they followed him. And you have James and John, who left their father in the boat together with the hired men, and they followed Jesus. So the question is, are we also prompt in responding to Jesus when he calls us? Responding promptly to Jesus will require faith. It requires us to move by faith. And I want to share with you that from my own personal experience, the confidence to move by faith comes by having a heart knowledge, not just a head knowledge. A heart knowledge. What is a heart knowledge? A heart knowledge is when you have a personal experience and encounter of who Jesus is. And it comes by having an intimacy of relationship with Jesus. We need this intimacy of relationship. We need to be so close and walking so closely to him so that we can discern what he says, that we can act prudently, that we can act with discernment, that we will not be reckless or impulsive. Right? The closer you are to the person, the better you are able to recognize his or her voice, right? Intimacy of relationship. Always remember that whatever that God calls us to do, it will require faith. And that is his point. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what has God called you to do for him? What has God called you to do with him? And have you responded to God? The second response was the disciples had a radical surrender. They had a radical commitment to Jesus. Why radical? Simon and Andrew left behind their livelihood. They left their nets behind. James and John not only left their nets behind, they left their father behind, they left their hired men behind as well. They left their business behind. In Luke chapter 14, verse 33, Jesus emphatically states that anyone who wants to be his disciple must renounce and give up all that he or she has. Now, to give up everything for Christ does not mean to say that we need to sell off everything right now. But what it means is that we have to make Jesus our security. It's no longer the money in our bank. It's no longer our jobs. It's no longer our house. It's not even our family that will be our security. But Jesus becomes our primary security. It also means that Jesus now takes priority. He takes the first place in our lives. His priority over our jobs, our careers, his priority over even our family. So, when Jesus is our security and when he is our priority, we are prepared to leave everything behind and to follow him. When we confess Jesus as our Lord, we actually express our belief that he has redeemed us, correct? How many of you here have confessed Jesus as Lord? You are actually expressing your belief that he has redeemed us. And in the same way then, when we confess Jesus as Lord, what we are saying is that, Lord, my life is no longer my own, but it is now yours. If Jesus is Lord and Jesus is master over our lives, every area of our lives comes under subjection to Him. We then need to do whatever He tells us to do. You remember what Pastor Jeremy exhorted us a few Sundays ago? Do whatever He tells you to do. So, my question this morning to you is Jesus your security? Is He your priority? Are you prepared to leave everything behind to follow Him? And are you committed to do whatever He tells you to do? Jesus said, "Come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." To follow Jesus is to walk by faith. Following Jesus will be glorious and it will also be costly. But at the end of the day, there will be an eternal reward, an eternal joy that awaits us. Following Jesus will be astounding. It will be amazing. It will be awesome. Because we will get to experience firsthand the power of God and the glory of God working in and through us. Yet, following Jesus will also set us on a path that is contrary and that is in conflict with the world. It will require us to leave our past lives behind. It will require us to leave our securities behind. It will require us to press on despite the trials and despite the struggles that we may experience as a result of our faith and our ministry. It will require us to keep our eyes on Jesus, to walk by faith, by the conviction that we have in who He is and what He has said to us. But let me also assure you, for those of us who discover and encounter the riches and the treasures who are in Christ, we will be like the man that Jesus spoke of, who will sell away everything just to buy that valuable, precious pearl. And we will be like the man who will sell away everything just to buy that field in which lies the hidden treasure. And this was what Paul meant in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, when he says he count everything as loss in comparison to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Everything that he has is rubbish in order that he might gain Christ. Brothers and sisters, I want to share with you my heart. As we look at the world today, Jesus is returning very soon. And we are so much closer to His return than ever before. And like the ministry of John the Baptist in the days of Jesus, this is the time and this is the season for us to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare for the arrival of the King. And we need to do so more urgently than before. This is the time where those who have yet to hear of Christ and those who have yet to hear of the gospel of salvation and of life in Christ, this is the time for them to hear it. This is the time for us to pray even more fervently for our pre-believing loved ones and our friends. This is the time for Christians who have been entangled by worldly affairs and by worldly pleasures to repent and to return to Jesus, who is our true reward. This is the time for Christians whose hearts have turned cold, whose first love for Jesus has been snuffed out, the way we loved Jesus when we first experienced Him. For those Christians whose love has turned cold, this is the time to repent and to be revived. We sang the song, God of Revival. pour it out. Pour it out. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. This is the time for us to be focused and to be diligent in being fishers of men, to be faithful in making disciples of all nations, wherever God has placed us, in your home, in your school, in your workplace. God did not place you there by chance. God placed you there to be a fisher of men. This is the time for us to wake up, to be alert, to be sober, to be watchful, and to be prayerful. Because Christ Jesus is returning very soon. And He has said that His reward is with Him, and He will give each one according to what they have done. So this morning, I'd like to ask, and I'd like us to reflect, and this is between you and God. The first question is, who are we following today? Who do we resemble? Who are we following today? And if we are honest, I would say that for those of us who have inadvertently strayed away, we have followed someone else or we have followed something else apart from Jesus, this now is the time to ask for forgiveness. We have to acknowledge it. There's no shame in it. Acknowledge and confess it and ask God for forgiveness and repent. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us to be discerning. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us fix our eyes on Jesus and help us to have undivided attention and devotion to Jesus. Who are we following today? The second question is this: how is our first love for Jesus today? Are we still excited to tell people about Jesus? Are we still excited to sing for the Lord? To make a joyful noise unto His name? To share our stories and our testimonies with Jesus? Are we excited to see people turn to Christ? Do we feel it in our hearts when we look at them, the compassion that Christ has for them? How is our first love for Jesus today? And if we have forgotten and lost our first love, it is not too late, because we are still here to hear this message. Do likewise, acknowledge and confess, and ask God for forgiveness, and ask and tell God, Lord, I repent. Turn back to Jesus. Ask Jesus to revive our hearts and to revive our love for Him. Ask Jesus to rekindle and to set us ablaze with fire and with passion and with zeal for Him. Ask Him. He will not turn from you. He will not reject you. But we have to be honest and we have to be humble. We have to acknowledge it, where we are, so that He can revive us. The third question, for those of us who have been Christians or who are Christians, have we been faithful in fishing for people? Fishing people for the kingdom of God, making disciples wherever God has placed us? Or has our careers and has our jobs overtaken that mission? If we have not been faithful, also ask for forgiveness and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to be faithful. To be faithful to what Jesus has commissioned us to do, to have the courage to rise up, to step out, and to make disciples. Ask the Holy Spirit to help. And for those of us who want to follow Jesus more wholeheartedly, ask Him to take us deeper and further with Him. We do not have because we do not ask. So ask. Ask Him to take you deeper and to take you further. Ask Him to cause His word to burn like fire within our bones. Ask Jesus to give us the faith and the courage to respond to Him and to respond promptly as well. So I want to give you just 1 minute now to just give a quick thought on this. And would you talk to Jesus this morning? In the meantime, I invite the worship team up, please. Please don't let this moment slip by. Because again, like I said before, it is not by chance that you are here this morning. So let's respond to the word of the Lord. Let's respond to Jesus. And let this time be one where you renew, refresh, and you take it further, your commitment with the Lord Jesus. Come, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we commit to You this morning. Lord, You know where we are, Lord, and You hear where we are. Lord, as we respond to You, and as we respond to You in the simple ways that we know how, we ask, Lord, for You to help us this morning. Help us, Lord, to follow You closely. Help us to follow You with undivided attention. Help us to give undivided devotion to You. Lord, would You put a blinkers on our eyes, so to speak, so that, Lord, that we will not be distracted by the things around us. We will not be distracted by the blessings that You have given us, that we take our eyes off You. Lord, we pray that for those of us whose hearts have gone cold, that we have lost our first love, the first excitement that we had for You. Lord, revive our hearts, Lord. Set us ablaze once again. Rekindle the flame, Lord, as we turn to You. Lord, we don't know how, but we turn to You. Give us an appetite for Your word, Lord. Give us a hunger for Your presence once again. Lord, refresh our vision, Lord, of who You are. Let us encounter Your love anew. Let us see Your glory anew. Lord, for those of us, Lord, who can do better in making disciples in where You have placed us, Lord, we ask, help us by Your Spirit to have the faith, the grace, the strength, and the courage to step out, O Lord. Help us to walk with You, to serve with You, to flow with Your Spirit. Lord, would You put the words that You want us to speak on our lips? Would You prompt our hearts, O Lord, that we may take that step of faith? Lord, we want to be faithful to what You have called us to do. We want to be Your faithful servants. And hear You say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. For those of us, Lord, who wants to go deeper with You, Lord, we pray, bring us deeper. Deeper, Lord, than our feet will thread normally. Bring us, Lord, further as well, O Lord. Lord, take us closer in intimacy in our walk with You, that we may have the confidence, Lord, to move with You and to flow with You and to move promptly, Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, that You give each and every one of us, Lord, a closer walk with You, a closer relationship with You. Let every person here experience the riches and the treasures that are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Lord, would you do this for each of us this morning as we entrust, Lord, and I entrust ourselves, every brother and sister here this morning. We bless you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we ask and pray this. Amen. Shall we stand and shall we respond to the Lord with this song?